And the reading and preaching this morning, Lord willing, will begin at verse 31 in chapter 6. I'll read through 51 and hopefully have time to finish up and conclude with verses 52 through 59. Let me just give you a heads up and a preview of where we're going in the month of April. That begins obviously next Sunday. That's the first Sunday in the month. We always celebrate the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday. That also will be what is normally called Palm Sunday. And so I'll read from chapter 12, a couple of verses there about Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem. But then we're going directly and quickly to chapter number 19. That is concerning the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, and doing so in light of us celebrating the Lord's Supper and applying it that way. Following Sunday, the world calls it Easter. We call it Resurrection Celebration. And so I'll be preaching that second Sunday, April 9, from John chapter 20, concerning the resurrection of Christ. The third Sunday of the month, and there are five in April, the third Sunday of the month, the title of that sermon is going to be Our Resurrection, and the reading and preaching will come from 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Then on the fourth Sunday, we will get back into chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, and the title of the sermon comes from the words in verse 63 of chapter 6 on that Sunday. And the title of that sermon is that it's the Spirit who gives life. And there'll be more preaching on this subject of what we're going to hear some about today. Why some believe, why some do not. Why some receive Christ, why some do not. And so most of this in chapter 6, Jesus himself is answering that question. He elaborates more on it in chapter 10, and we'll pick it up again at that point when we get that far into the gospel. And then on the last Sunday, we'll simply continue on our way in the gospel of John after, and probably be starting up in chapter 7, verse 1, and moving on from there. But today, the reading is chapter 6, verses 31 through 51. And I remind us, this is the word of God, inerrant, infallible, inspired by him. It is, thus saith the Lord. And so let us hear what he would say to us today. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, that it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. They said therefore to him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. The Jews, therefore, were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. And they were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Well, obviously, this passage, as in previous ones, we see Jesus in a conversation with some people. Now, we know that these people, if you'll back up to chapter 5, verse 32, we'll see who it is he is conversing with. It's actually chapter 6, verse number, chapter 6, verse 32. No, that was another one. Just hang on, be patient. You know I'm old and forgetful. And I appreciate your patience in loving me anyway. But here it is. It's chapter 6, verse 22. Got that? And here's what it says. The next day, the multitude that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Well, it identifies the multitude. Now, these are the ones that were present when he performed the miracle and fed the 5,000. And the Bible says it was 5,000 men, so we can assume that maybe there were women and children, etc., and some even think there may have been as many as 20,000 people there for that event. But nonetheless, there were at least 5,000 men, and he fed all of them with just a few loaves and fishes, and there were 12 baskets left over. Well, this multitude of people who were there obviously were very impressed with that. And so they began to follow Jesus around and they want to keep up with him. And so wherever he is, they want to see what else he might do. And so when we come to verse 31, they said to him that our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it was written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. And so Jesus picks up on this concept of having fed the 5,000 and that they are interested in food and that they were those who were very thankful for what was provided for them. At the same time, Jesus understands, based on verse 26 in that chapter, that again, he uses this phrase as terminology, truly, truly, or verily, verily, as it's recorded in some translations, which simply is a way of Jesus saying to whoever's listening to him, listen up. This is important. I want you to get what I'm about to say. I don't want you to misunderstand. And so he uses this a number of times in the section of today's reading in chapter 6. But in verse 26, a little earlier than 31, Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And so Jesus understands that this multitude is interested in him because he provided plenty for them to eat. They are not yet recognizing him for who he is. The word God become flesh and dwelling among us. And so they're not acknowledging him to be the living God in the flesh on earth doing these miraculous things and teaching them some very significant truths. So they go back to this concept of how God provided the manna for their fathers in the wilderness. And so Jesus carries that conversation with them and says again, using the term truly, truly, or listen up, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who has given you the true bread. So now he moves from just bread to the true bread. Later he'll call it the living bread. And he's referring again to himself. And for the bread of God, that is which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And so they said, well, Lord, give us this bread. We're interested in that. Well, Jesus now tells them plainly, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, verse 35, shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. And so, again, they are not accepting what he's saying. They're not acknowledging that he is God in the flesh dwelling among them. And so now Jesus answers that question that we raised from chapter 1. And let's go back before we get the answer to chapter 1 and get the question clearly in mind. In chapter 1, in verses 11 and 12, we read, he, talking about Christ, came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. And that's reference to the Israelites, which included obviously the Pharisees and those who opposed him all the way through, and those who plotted to kill him, wanted to kill him on occasions, even picked up stones to stone him to death. They were his own, but they did not receive him. Then verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And that word believe again is extremely important in the Gospel of John, used sometime almost 100 times, 99 or 100 times throughout the Gospel. Very important concept about believing not only who Christ is, but believing in him and trusting in him for the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Well, we begin to get an idea in verse 13 about why it is that some believe and some don't, why it is that some receive him and some do not. And these things are true not only in that day, but in our day as well. And so he begins to answer, God does in verse 13, and he says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So those who believe and those who receive him and trust him as Savior and Lord do so by the will of God. Man cannot will himself to do that. We lost that ability when Adam and Eve fell into sin. Now they had that ability. They could choose to do righteousness and obey, or they could choose to disobey and sin. And we all know what they did. They chose to disobey and sin. And so all of their posterity, all humans after that time, were conceived and born with a sinful nature. And we all know that from the teaching of Scripture that will remain and abide in us until we die, or until Christ comes again, whichever one of those comes first. Even after we're born again, we still have that sinful nature within. And that's why we are far less than perfect. That's why sometimes we get a little aggravated and get a little short and snappy and grumble and gripe and complain and one thing and another. Fuss and fight and carry on. Well, He gives us this idea, this biblical truth and this concept in verse 13, that to receive him, to believe in him, comes about as a result of the will of God. Now let's go back to chapter 6. And Jesus again tells them, I'm the bread of life. Verse 35, he who comes to me, he who believes in me, that's what he means by those. He ties all that together. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. I said to you, you've seen me, but you do not believe. Now he explains to them why. This is why you do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me, I certainly will not cast out. So he tells them straight up, God himself must initiate you receiving me and you coming to me and you believing in me, or you'll never do it. God must take the first step in order for you to believe in me and receive me. Now, this is not the only place in the Bible, obviously, that this concept is taught. We get it again very clearly in Ephesians 1, where he tells us that he has chosen us from before the foundation of the world, and that he has predestined us to be in Christ and believe in him and have eternal life. We see it here in chapter 6. We read about it in 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, and 10. He has not predestined us to wrath as the rest, but it goes on to say that we are his by his choosing and by his work and ministry. We read about it in Romans chapter 8 and in Romans chapter 9. And in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, the first two words of that verse is, first three words, he saved us. And so it is him who does the saving. We do not save ourselves. And I know that, and I confess I was one who grew up thinking that we did, that we saved ourselves by our own decision. And I thought that for some time. And I've shared with you before that it was in my senior year at Belhaven College. I majored in Bible because I was ignorant of biblical things and headed to seminary. And I thought I had some enough sense to know, well, if I'm going to seminary, I need to know as much about the Bible as I can know before I get there, because I got an idea that we're going to be spending a lot of time in that. And so I chose to major in Bible. And so the senior year, we had to write a paper on some biblical concept or idea. So I went to the head of the department and said to him, this is the title of my paper that I want you to approve, and I'll write on it. We had to get his approval to do it. And he said, well, what do you want to write about? I said, well, this is the title of my paper. We save ourselves by our own decision. And I could tell he had a bit of a kind of The Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life, the true bread, the living bread that did indeed come down out of heaven. And all who believe in him have eternal life because God has willed it to be, and God has brought it to pass, and God has caused it to happen. Let's bow our heads for a moment.